of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated, and let's give us a warm welcome to welcome Pastor Xiaowen on stage.
Today, no interpreter. I preach in English. Why? Because I got some very precious feedback about my sermon. I think I speak very simple Chinese, but I don't. the feedback is so that my Chinese is very high level for some of you to receive the message. So I try to speak in English to reduce the pace, reduce the language difficulty, and reduce the weight of the message. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I try to speak in English, but after the this sermon, you can give me some feedback. You prefer which way you think is better to help all of you to receive more about the sermon. But something I want to mention about the when interpreter is present, the language you receive is not from the original language, means not from Chinese, it's from the English one. So I speak Chinese not for all of you, for the congregation, but for the interpreter. So the interpreter plays a very important role. You can choose which one you prefer, then give me the feedback, okay? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we quiet our hearts before you. Help us to open to your truth. Speak to us through your word and align our hearts with your will. We place this time in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, the sermon, the theme is counting the cost. I want to invite all of us to do something that we are actually very familiar with, is to calculate. Every day we calculate a lot of things. We calculate the whether we have enough time, like when you leave your home, go to the church, have enough time. We calculate we have enough money. We calculate a choice, it worth it. Whether we make a certain decisions will cause us to lose out. So every day we calculate. We live in a generation that is very good at calculating. But there's one thing that we rarely calculate carefully. What? What does it really cost to follow Jesus Christ? Many people carry a question in their hearts, a question they are not very brave to say out loudly. If I truly obey the Lord, will I lose some of the things I think is very important for me? If I really give my life to the Lord, will I regret it? We are often afraid to ask this question because we think if we ask it, it looks like we are not spiritual enough. But today's the passage. Jesus does not avoid this question at all. Instead, he takes the initiative to call the crowd and the disciples together, saying, if you want to follow me, you need to count the cost clearly first. Today's passage is not trying to stir the our emotions, and it's not trying to create a religious excitement. It is invite us to honestly to count the cost. Let's read the Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 39 together. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. first part, a disciple is not a spectator, but a follower. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." This verse begins with the word, then he called the crowd to him and along with the disciples. This sentence is very important because Jesus is not speaking only to the called disciples, the 12 disciples, but he is speaking, and he's not only speaking to the, especially the spiritual peoples who follow him. He calls a crowd, means many, many people, even the unbelievers, together with the disciples together. In other words, this is not an advanced course. This is a basic definition of what is a disciple is. Jesus then see three things. If you want to follow me, first, deny yourself. Second, take up your cross. Third, follow me. These three statements are not three different choices. It's like the drink the coffee, the black coffee, the 3-in-1, 2-in-1. No, they are the three different sides of the same call, one calling to be the disciple. So first, deny yourself. Let us look at the deny yourself. Denying yourself does not mean hating yourself. And it does not mean denying your values. We are very valuable because we create by God's image. Deny yourself means this, no longer lighting myself, me, everything is me, sit on the throne of my life. Many of us, some of us is a first generation Christian. Before we believe Christ, everything we make the decision by me. I want. But when we decide to follow Jesus, we need to think about who is sitting on the throne of my life. Many times we are willing to let Jesus be involved in my life, but only under one condition. The direction, the pace, and the final decisions of life are still decided by me. We may pray like this, "Lord, please bless my plan, plan A, plan B, plan C." Instead of asking, "Lord, what is your plan? I want to follow you." Then Jesus said, "Deny yourself." When Jesus said, "Deny yourself," he's asking, "Are you willing to give up the place where you decide everything?" Second, take up your cross. Jesus says, "Take up your cross." Today, when we hear this word cross, we easily spiritualize that it turned to a symbol. We hang on the ground, the door show our we are the Christian. But at that time, the cross was not a decoration. It was an instrument of execution. The people who die on the cross. It means this, are you willing to pay a real cost for your faith, for obeying the Lord? Real cost. That cost may look like being misunderstood because you are Christian. It may look like being rejected by the people. It may look like losing the things you once valued deeply, reputation, the money, the people, your friends, because you're Christian, you cut the connection with you. Not because you did something wrong, but because you choose to follow Christ and you were willing to pay the cost. Every time we talk about taking the cross, it feels very heavy. Wow, if we think, oh, cross, it's very, very heavy for us. We associate the cross with the sacrifice, suffering. We think walking on God's path must be a painful road. No one understood me. no one works with me, and everything is difficult. But as I walked with the Lord over the years, I have slowly discovered something. The real weight of the cross is not loneliness. It is refusing to take shortcuts in your life. It is not simple. It is not simply about sacrifice. The hardest part is this. Where you clearly have an easy option and path, you still choose not to take it, but you choose to take the God way. In my life and ministries, there have been more than a few moments like this. There were times when I knew that if I choose to be more accepted by people, if I spoke more vaguely about certain convictions, if I was less clear and less firm at key moment, many things would become much easier. People will feel very happy. Everyone would feel better. Relationship might become smoother. The atmosphere might become more pleasant. There might even be more opportunities for me. No one would say that I was wrong. Some may even say that you are very wise, you know how to deal with people. Chinese, how to say that? 很会做人. But in my heart, I knew very clearly. At that moment, I was not facing people, but facing God. This is my cross. I should stand there to take the cross. The real weight of the cross is this. When there is an easy option, I do not choose it. When there is a safe compromise, I refuse it. When there is a faster path, I stop, and no one understands, I still refuse to twist the truth and the real. This is the cross. The cross is not dramatic. It is choosing faithfulness again and again. In place, no one see you, no one understood you. Some costs are not outward pain, but inward struggle. I think the real questions, everyone will have struggles when we pray to God. Because sometimes we only write our lives, no gray place. The only way, which one you want to choose? Follow God or follow your own way. This is a cross. So, it is not the question, can I do this? But the question, am I willing to give up shortcuts for my calling? Third, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. To follow does not mean walking ahead of the Lord. It also does not mean staying far behind him. It means let him decide the direction, the speed, and the rhythm. The Bible has already given us a very clearly and a very concrete picture about what is real following of the God. After the Israelites came out of Egypt, God did not give them a map and ask them to fight their own way. God personally to lead them with a pillar of the cloud by day and a pillar of the fire by night. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. Sometimes they moved very quickly, but sometimes they stayed a place for a long time. They did not decide the direction. They did not control the speed, and they did not set the schedule. Following God is not only trusting where he is leading us to go, but also trusting how fast he moves and we follow him. This is what his following means. No rushing ahead, no following behind, but working with the Lord at the same pace and in the same rhythm. But in the real life, most of what the problem are not, am I following God? The deeper question is, am I following his pace or am I pulling him to match my pace or my plan? Let us bring this into everyday, our daily life first. In our decision, is there space to wait for the cloud? In life, we are often very anxious to get answers. If we want to get the quick answers, we find AI, the Google, to give us the answers. We rush to make a decision to know what is the answer. We rush to move forward, and we rush to get everything, setting everything well and control everything. But the Israelites could not see. The cloud has not moved yet. But let us move a little first. Can count. They had to learn how to wait the God's timing. When we face choices about the walk, ministry decisions, even the relationships, do we leave some space for God to lead us? Or just make a rush decisions, finally find, wow, life is so hard? Or have we already decided the direction and we are simple hope that God will approve it? We pray. God, this is my plan, bless me. We pray. Sometimes the hardest part of following God is not moving forward, but staying where you are without becoming anxious, not becoming anxious, patience. Second, in our pace, do we refuse these shortcuts that looks faster? We live in a world that values efficiency. Fast often feels right, and slow often feels like falling behind. But the pillar of cloud and the fire reminds us, God does not only decide where we go, but also decide how fast we go. Sometimes God moves more slowly than we expect, not because he's delaying, but because he is protecting us. When I joined Agape work as an administrator, I work in a church, very small church, only 70 people there for 7 years as an administrator. The very lower salary just can be survive. Why? When we're looking back, I feel, wow, God's timing is perfect. When I was working at that place, God do a very, very deep work in my inner life. I built a deep relationship with him. But during I work there, my parents think I'm a loser. Why? My friends and my parents' friends, their child got the big house, got the children, they have the car, they have high positions, but what is you? You are the loser, you just can survive. I pay a lot of money to support you studying in Singapore, but the result is like this. I'm really afraid to call my parents, but every time when I call my parents, wow, it's so terrible. I just feel my parents feel shame about you, about me. But when I'm looking back, I thank God, I'm not went to the shortcuts. I wait there for 7 years. This 7 years is very, very important for me because if I don't have that 7 years there, I can't stand here. The most place I will go is the inner healing place or the counseling place. So God's timing is perfect. Until one day, I don't want to leave the place because it's very, very good. I just won't be with God. But God close the door. I cannot stay there. You know, the pillar of the cloud is moved. I need to move. So, have you ever skipped life lessons that need to be dealt ways just to keep moving. Following God sometimes means saying to yourself, this path is faster, but I will not take it. I choose to wait for God's timing. Third, in waiting, will you change your way because others do not understand? In the wilderness, the Israelites were not applauded every day. Even they are complaining, they don't understand. The same is true, it's true today. When you choose not to take shortcuts, when you choose to move more slowly, when you choose to be faithful to God's calling, no one will understand you immediately beside you. But the cloud did not move because of the people's emotions. Following God is not decided by what people around us to see. Most time, if you hear the people's advice, you will go to another way. It is decided by the one thing. Has the cloud moved? Has God opened the way? So the real question is not, will this be easier? The real question is, if I continue working this way, am I still working in God's rhythm? Okay, second part. The more you try to save your power, yourself, the more you lose yourself. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. In these words, Jesus says something very counterintuitive. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Why? He said this. Jesus is not encouraging people to treat their life lightly, or he is not calling people to act recklessly. He is exposing a life logic that we are all very familiar with and very easily fall into. What is this? We believe that as long as I am careful enough and protect myself enough, I will live more safely. If I work hard, if I gain a lot of money, I will more safety. In relationships, we do not give ourselves easily because we are afraid getting hurt. In ministries, we do not commit deeply because we are afraid to be drained. In decisions, we do not obey easily because we are afraid of losing control. All of this sounds very reasonable. It sounds very human. But Jesus points out the result. When your life is completely built on self-protection, you may slowly lose real life, the real life. You may not take any big mistakes. Your life looks stable, normal. Go to the church. Everything goes well. But inside, you become drier and more tired. Some people later realize that they are very safe, but not very joyful. Very in control, but not very alive. I want to describe these words with one sentence. In the end, self-protection often protects life away. Why does Jesus see that the more tight we hold on to our own life, and more we lose ourselves? Because life is not sustained by control. Life is sustained by relationship. We often think that if we are careful enough, smart enough, and good enough at protecting ourselves, we can manage life well. But the Bible does not understand life this way. In the Bible, life is not something that can be held tightly It is a state of being connected to God, flowing and being supplied by God. It's a relationship with a God. It's like the branches and the grape tree connecting. The relationship is very important. When we begin to replace trust in God with self-control, the source of life is cut off. Because we are very busy, we control everything. We not trust the tree can supply our lives, can protect us. And we see a very real result. People become safer but less free. More afraid to lose and more afraid to true life. But here Jesus offers another way. But whoever loses their life for me and follow gospel will save it. This is not a call to look for suffering everywhere. It is a statement about how life to truly works. Real life is released when it is handed over to God. Because the nature of life is to be given, to be used, and to be sent. True life is not preserved, it is lived out. When we are willing for Christ and for the gospel to hand over the authority of our lives to God, we are not losing ourselves. We are turning to the purpose for which we were created. This is the real life, the true life. That is why many people later discover that when they truly obey God, step into their calling, and even pay the cost, life becomes more real, more clear, and more powerful, and more influence. Last year, on December, I know some of the YA and youth joined the conference in Malaysia. Yeah. They heard a lot of testimonies from the different ministry missionaries from different countries. When the missionaries stand there and sharing their life, sharing their ministries, very powerful and very influenced to influence the next generation to stand up to follow their way. Why? Because they truly obey God. They step into their calling. They not control their life. They handed their life to God. Make the God to use them, to set them. Third part, are you trading the internal for the temporary? Mark chapter 8, verse 36 to 38. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed for me and my words in their adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the whole angels. Jesus asked two questions. What is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their life? And what can anyone give in exchange for their life? These two questions invite us to do a value calculation. Jesus not against effort, achievement, and success. But he's asking, what are you trading, and what are you trading it for? Many times, it is not what we are unwilling to pay a cost. It is that we pay the wrong cost. For acceptance, we give up truth. For safety, we give up obedience to God. For not being criticized, we give up our own witness. The most expensive is not the cost we pay. It is paying a cost for the wrong object. So, brothers and sisters, I share this because, not because I have worked well, but because I see something very clearly now. If I slowly give up my calling in order to be accepted, if I slowly blur the truth in order to feel safe, I may appear to lose nothing. No one see that. Everything goes well, moves smooth. My position may remain. My relationship may remain. And life will continue to function, even looks better. But I will slowly lose something for more important to myself. The create purpose. Why God created me. At that point, the starting point of my decisions is no longer who has God called me to be, but is it safe? Because every decision I make, is it safe? Protect me? Make me lose some, less to lose something. It is not that I stop believing truth. It is that I begin to slow it down, weaken it, and make space for other things. I continue doing what I should do, but I live less and less faithfulness. Over time, I do not feel, but I lose the self that God originally called me to live in truth. In the final verse 38, named a very real tension, being shamed. In this adulterous and sinful nature generation, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, many times the world does not persecute us, it attracts us. It does not ask us to deny our faith. It asks us to slow it just a little, just a bit. It does not ask us to betray the truth. It asks us not to take it so seriously. The first generations, the Christian, your parents may say, why are you so serious? Just go to church. Why are you at the baptism? It does not ask us to leave Jesus. It asks us to place faith in a position that is not very visible and not very offensive. So the most dangerous part is this. This kind of compromise often looks very reasonable, very safe, and even very mature. But Jesus reminds us one thing. How you treat me now, I will treat you then. This is not a threat. It is an ultimate value alignment. What we place at the center now, we will define us in the end. So today's passage is not asking us to immediately to do many things. It is invite us to be honestly face one question. Has the authority of my life really been handed over to God? So I want to invite the worship team now. We can spend some quiet time to reflect three questions. The first question, what is the hardest thing for me to hand over right now? The second question, what I am protecting and caring about the most, it is preserving life or it is slowing, draining me? Third, if I truly obey the Lord, what am I most afraid of? Losing. Let's spend some time.